What's going on, everybody? It's your host again, Gerald Saltkill, with the TNT Couch Scouts.
Woo woo!
We got two in a row, John.
Back to back.
Here we go.
Back to back for the first time in a long time.
Ooh. First time in a long time.
It's been a hot minute for sure.
But we've beaten two teams that we should have beaten.
Yes.
And look where we are now. 3-3.
Sitting in the driver's seat, dude.
Can take this division over.
It's possible. I mean, it's pretty open-ended.
I mean, you got to think about it. We've made the comment. So the Texans play the Broncos this week.
Mm-hmm.
Good opponent, right? Someone I think they have a chance against, especially if Lamar Miller keeps putting up 146 yards like he did last week against the Colts. You know, I really think that if we win these next two games, beat the Colts and the Jags, who knows where the Texans are going to be sitting at.
We're in the discussion. Like, we're there. Like, ahead of schedule, I think. Like, if you told me 6 games in this season we'd be still in, like, the mix, I'd be like, I don't know. Like, that, there's a lot. Like, we were bad last year. So I think we're ahead of schedule. We're in the mix. Like, that, we could not ask for more than just to be in the conversation.
I agree. And, I mean, again, we have to think we're still a rebuilding organization, right?
So I'm saying, I think we're, like, not a year ahead, but we're ahead of schedule.
Agreed. As of right now, yeah. You know, we've played 6 games.
Yeah.
Right. We've played good teams well. I mean, we've been in every single ball game we've played. We're obviously in the right trajectory, but I personally can't have the fallback, right? I think we need to capitalize on where our division is right now.
Yeah.
I think we really need to capitalize. We have to. If this organization wants to get back to where it wants to be, bigger thing, if Mike Mularkey wants to keep his job and to get back where this organization wants to be, we got to be better in this division. Beating the Colts, we haven't beaten the Colts since 2012, maybe?
I don't know, we're 9-1 in the last 10 times, the 10 games. And last year, Josh Freeman...
1-9?
1-9, yes, I'm sorry, 1-9. Josh Freeman beat us last time. Josh Freeman. They picked him up on like a Tuesday, beat us on Sunday.
We also had Alex Taney playing quarterback that game, too.
Yeah, but Josh Freeman?
At least Josh Freeman was a first-round pick, right?
Still pathetic.
I don't disagree with you on that fact, but we weren't putting out much better.
Like you're talking about, we have two division games this week. We can take leaps forward.
Absolutely.
If you win both these games.
We win both of these games, I think we'll be in number one spot in the division. You're right. This is a crucial, very, very crucial 5 days for this team.
Yeah.
And this season for this team. These 5 days mean a lot.
Yeah.
It's turning the corner and being able to beat teams you can beat, like we've seen the past 2 weeks, or are you just going to swim in mediocrity, right? We split these games, we say, meh. Right? We
should not split these games.
No, we should not. Especially when those two teams are struggling.
Yeah.
We got to capitalize. I'll tell you what, I did feel bad for the Colts for a little bit that Brock Osweiler was able to lead 2 touchdowns and 7 minutes left in that game.
I hate the Colts. I hope bad things upon them all the time. That was awesome.
I hate the Colts too, but obviously you know my thoughts on Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
So anytime Brock Osweiler can do that to your team, kind of feel bad for you.
I'll never feel bad for the Colts.
I do hate them as well. I mean, how can one organization get so lucky to be able to draft a Peyton Manning and have the guy play for the team for 17, 18 seasons, whatever it was, and then turn around and draft another good quarterback right after that?
It's frustrating.
It really is.
I hate them. I hate the Colts. Everything about the Colts, I can't stand.
Tell us how you really feel, John.
I hate the Colts.
Love it.
Before we get into my anti-cult rant, let's touch on
the Brownies.
Browns recap. So I'm going to start off by saying the Browns are who we thought they were.
They're not
a very good football team.
No, they're not.
With that saying, we should have been, like, the score was not as close as it should have been. Like, we were better than them.
By
more than 2 points.
Absolutely. Them coming back, I don't put anything on those 2 touchdowns. I really don't. What it does say to me is that Cody Kessler may be a little bit better than I thought. They converted 2 fourth downs. They had a bunch of third downs they converted as well. Again, when he gets outside of the pocket, like that one fourth, that other fourth down, you know, before their first of the 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter,
yeah.
He scrambled out there and hit somebody for like a 10, 15-yard gain, got him down to the 5.
He looked good.
Made some plays. So
Terrell probably looked like Randy Moss a few times. He was mossing dudes. He was going up over the top of people.
He was absolutely mossing dudes. That was ridiculous.
I mean, Rashard Johnson got mossed.
Damien Stafford got mossed.
He did too. But on the touchdown, Rashard Johnson, who did not have a great afternoon, got mossed.
He did not.
Terrell probably looked like a stud.
He did. I mean, I can't say that I thought the guy was going to be able to transition like he did. But more power to the guy.
Yeah. Good for him. Well, we'll go back to our offense side of the ball.
Okay.
Number 8, once again, the word I would use to describe him is proficient. Proficient, efficient, efficient as hell.
Whatever word works.
Whatever word makes more sense there.
Oh, absolutely.
17-24, 284, and 3 touchdowns.
Very solid afternoon. Had one pick, only got sacked twice.
Looked great.
Great, absolutely.
People were calling for his head 2 weeks ago.
I know.
They wanted him on the bench. They wanted to find another quarterback.
Start Matt Castle.
They were like washing their hands.
Ridiculous.
Of Mariota, and bounces back with 2 great games. We were both still in his corner.
Absolutely.
But that's how he should play. He should be leading the team.
He absolutely should.
With 2 or 3 touchdowns, rush touchdown. He's running the ball more. Terry Bisky, way to go.
Absolutely.
I feel like that has helped him out exponentially.
Absolutely.
He looks more comfortable. I was talking 2 or 3 weeks ago. He just looked super uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think him being able to run around and move. They opened the game with the zone read. They went for 30 yards.
Perfect.
Stuff like that.
Wonderful call.
Yeah.
Wonderful call.
Yeah.
Had Delaney pulling around and being that lead blocker out there. Wonderful. I was going to touch on that. Wonderful play call to start.
Gets him in the groove.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's one of those guys. You got to get his blood going a little bit. You got to get him sweating. You got to get him running around. You got to get him moving. And Marcus, when those feet get moving real quick, right? When he's running the football, you're right. He's more comfortable, right? He's able to move around the pocket really well. He's able to navigate it. Again, he's not perfect.
Yeah.
But he's been playing. He played really well the past 2 games. What we need out of that guy. It just shows that he can have a good future, and I'm obviously super incredibly excited about that.
Well, he's progressing. We're progressing as a show. The team's progressing. It's just a good all-around.
It's a good all-around mix.
Good all-around mix.
Except for my fantasy teams, but we won't get into that right now. Biggest thing I wanted to touch on about the Brownies and the Factory of Sadness, the defense. 6 sacks again. Huge. Huge.
It's 12 sacks in 2 games.
Absolutely wonderful that you can get guys rushing the quarterback like that. Derek Morgan looks great. Brian Arakpo. Obviously, Jarrell coming in again. Great week. I mean, when you are pressuring the quarterback like that, he has no time to throw, right? Yeah. If you can keep him in the pocket, which is one thing we didn't really do well in those last 2 drives that Cleveland had, that's huge. I mean, it completely changes the dynamic of the defense. A pass rush can make up for the mistakes you have on the back end.
It's exciting to watch us on defense now. It used to be nerve-wracking.
Oh, absolutely.
Now it's exciting. We're getting after him. They're making plays. They're getting sacks. It's exciting. It used to be oh boy, here they go, 85.
Oh, yeah.
Touchdown.
Pray, cross your fingers that they're not going to throw some 90-yard touchdown. But the defenses look good.
Defense look good. Offense look good. Mm-hmm. Special teams still suspect.
Very suspect. Very suspect.
If I'm Brett Kern, I don't care what the coach is telling me, I'm punting it out of bounds from now on. I don't trust anyone.
No.
I'm punting it out of bounds every freaking time. I mean, if we play a good team, a punt return can, like the Texans, a punt return to the side of the game, that could happen again. You can't allow big returns like that.
You can't. That has to be an area that steps up. It has to be a huge focus. I mean, again, if you want this team to be incredibly successful, if we want them to take the next step, got to have all 3 phases of the game. Got to have all 3.
I mean, fire the special teams guy, turn around. Special teams coach, turn around and just have another 2 bad games special teams.
Absolutely. I mean, the performance was meh. That's all I could say. The only bright spot I had was Antonio Andrews. We got to get into that. That hit. 1, legal. 2.
Hilltopper, man.
Nuts. That stadium.
It's the loudest it's been in a while.
It was, and I just heard the big ooh going out from everyone. That just overtook the crowd.
He's a Hilltopper, man. Salute to that 5. That's some glory right there.
Salute to that 5.
No, but one more thing about special teams is the onside kick was horrendous. Onside, the hands team.
Catch the football.
Well, just stay in your lane. I mean, the rules are set up now where they're going to kick it to you. Just stand there and catch it.
Absolutely.
Rashard Johnson, who once again denied not good afternoon.
Nope.
Tried to be Superman, jump out and try and catch it. You don't need to do that. Let the guy stand in the middle of catch. I don't know who it was.
Yeah. Catch the ball.
He looked like rocking 25 out there getting mossed and that stuff. He looked like Bleedy Ray to me.
Yeah, that was some Bleedy Ray football right there. That was some Bleedy Ray football, man. But you're right, Rashad, on that play, that has to be better. That has to be better.
Yeah. Well, they won the nail biter. Like, in the past, Titans would have found a way to lose that game.
Agreed. But the two-point conversion, going for that and stopping that.
I don't know why they went for it the first time. I'm a big believer in don't go for two until you have to go for two.
I would agree with
that. They didn't have to go for two there.
I would agree with that. And there's some points in the game, I think, where it's needed or you can do it, right? So if you're down, there's a play in the third quarter, right, where you might be down by eight or nine, if you will, and you can get a two-pointer to get it to seven or something like that, maybe can make a big play. Think you have the momentum, if you will. I think you can.
I get that, but I'm a believer in don't go for two until you absolutely have to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're on the same page in that regard. But just saying, there are some times where I'm cool with it, of course. But that was huge. But I'm not going to lie with you, man. I did not worry after we went up and had that touchdown to Fasano. I really did not worry all that much.
The onside kick, I was a little worried. But, I mean, when they get the two-point conversion, it was kind of a moot point at that point because they had to score another time.
Right. So that wasn't
awesome. And also, in the past, like, the Titans would have found a way to blow that. And this team didn't. And once again, we're taking steps.
Mm-hmm. Steps.
Progression. Man.
All about progression. And we finished. Again, a W is a W is a W.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be upset about that by any means necessary. Ugly wins are always decent wins. DeMarco did not have as good of a game as I expected here. They were really keen on him.
Yeah, and then to exploit that, Kendall Wright went
ham.
Bananas.
He went absolutely bananas. Where has that guy been? Well, I know where he's been, but like, wow. What a game.
Yeah, he killed. Well, I think
8 receptions, 133, and a touch.
Yeah. Welcome back, bro.
Seriously.
We missed you.
There's the contract year I was looking for.
The big thing, like the touchdowns, yes. Like the big deep touchdown, like great catch he laid out, and then the wherewithal to get up and score. Awesome. Absolutely. Great play. But outside of that, those like two third downs he picked up.
Oh, those
were
huge.
That's like vintage Kendall Wright. That's like that's his rookie year when he had 94 balls. Was it 94 balls? Mm-hmm. That's the Kendall Wright that I remember.
That's like the Kendall Wright we need.
Him making those moves and getting open, getting those key third downs.
Absolutely.
That's the one. That's the guy right there. That, like, once again, welcome back, bro.
Yeah, that's what we needed. I mean, that guy, that's what he does in this offense. That was huge, huge into getting the Fasano touchdown and how many key third down conversions you
have.
That's
his thing. That's why we got him.
Kendall's running those option routes, and he's really good at those option routes, okay? The Rashard Matthews one, great. Great stick. Makes sure they're running a back end cover three, right?
Yeah.
Push that outside guy to the corner and then make a quick cut. You know Marcus is going to put the ball right in your hands. Like, he just had to make that one good cut, right, to get in that space. Great play by him. But Kendall was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You can't beat the about you can't time. Beat that. One thing, going on the wide receivers and me bringing up Rashard, one thing that I found like very, very interesting in this game is that Andre Johnson had more snaps than Rashard Matthews. Played 34 snaps on offense to Rashard's 25. I personally think that's a blocking thing.
Yeah.
They're going to throw Andre out there because he's a better blocker. He's more experienced in that regard. So that's why. But I want to hear your thoughts on it, too.
I mean, I guess it just depends on, like, the packages they have installed. Like you said, blocking. Like, I'm sure a bunch of their running packages, they're going to have Andre on the field and not have
Rashard
just for that same reason. So I don't think it's more like also flow of the game probably affects it. But when there was only eight snaps, that were different. It's not like a huge, like, 20 snaps. It's only 8.
Right.
I think a lot of those are just the packages they brought in. Like, a few times they're going to put Andre outside, or yeah, putting two tight ends or put Kendall in. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of moving parts there.
I agree. And so with Tajay not playing as hot as he has.
I think, been. I mean, I agree with you. When Andre comes in, he's a better blocking receiver.
Mm.
But I still think Rashard is obviously
a better playmaker.
Better, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's your dynamic guy.
I think they just trust Andre more.
For sure.
You don't know the flow sometimes. Maybe they want to go, like, I don't have the play sheet in front of me. Maybe they went back to the same play 3 or 4 times, and that's just the formation they're in. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of variables on that, but I don't think it's like a huge deal or anything.
True. Kendall got in another 22 snaps. Tajay with a stellar 47, most out of any receiver or tight end for that matter.
Not doing a lot, though. With the
no, snaps. And he's really not. And touching on the Tajay real quick, I'm not sure. I mean, again, I just think he's a rookie, and they're keying on him, and I really think that they're putting a good corner on Tajay and the fact that, you know, he's on the field a lot.
Yeah.
But that's still not an excuse kind of thing. Like if you're playing there, bro, you got to produce. You got
to.
Yeah,
if you're on the
numbers.
Field, you need to be doing something.
Absolutely, no catches last week. They just literally did not do anything except for a run block. And again, the running game wasn't that stellar.
Yeah.
DeMarco broke that one long.
Didn't have to be stellar.
That long run for 16, and that was what 16 of his 65 yards in one rush. You know, his first seven went for 0 yards. But I will say this: one thing I'm kind of cool with in the Terry Robiskie offense. I know I'm kind of jumping around points to points here, but even though they had 8 or 9 guys in the box, a lot of the time they had 8 to 9 guys in the box, first, second down, for sure. We still are committing to the run because it opens up the pass game. It opens up the play action. We have to be committed to what we're doing. And then DeMarco might break one. DeMarco will break a big run.
I think them loading the box up is why Kendall had a big game. Like, all right, you're going to take away the run game? All right, we're going to spread you out and – Marcus is going to throw 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fine.
Very good point.
That's fine. Like, take what the defense gives you should be the number one coaching rule. Trey Edmondson has instilled that. I grew up on that. Take what the defense gives you.
Absolutely.
Whatever sport it was. It really is that simple. Like, if they're going to load you up at 9, look for your better one-on-one matchup. And it was Kendall.
Absolutely.
They're going to... go out with you, and you're going to be able to run through the tackles.
I agree with you, but sometimes we don't even have the talent to be able to do those
kind of things. True, true. But I'm saying it's...
We do now.
Yes. I think that's why Kendall had a great game, because the Browns were like, all right, we're going to stop DeMarco.
Mm-hmm.
And Robiskie was like, all right, cool. Well, Kendall's going to go ham, and then Kendall went ham.
Shows the versatility of the offense. Yeah. It's a huge thing going into next week. You know, what do the Colts try to do to stop that? Because if you don't put a decent corner on Kendall, he's going to torch you. He's going to torch most teams' nickels.
Yep.
And he's quick. He's super quick. The guy has good hands. Just use him appropriately, of course. He'll be successful in this offense. A little surprise for the day for me was Philip Supernaw.
He had a few good catches.
He did. Had a few good catches.
I mean, he's a good player.
He actually, oddly enough, he had more snaps than Kendall. Hmm. He had more snaps than him, only by 3, but he still had more snaps than Kendall. Sorry, John. I think it's a good time to get into the players that we had picked for last week.
Not a good afternoon for me.
No, I don't think it was a good afternoon for either of us, except, well, I did pick Marcus, so picking Marcus was pretty big, but I think I'm going to get another dub in this column. John, for the Titans, you had Rishard Matthews, who did have 3 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown, so still, this is a very solid day for sure. Oh, no, excuse me.
That was last week.
No, that was previous week. You had Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry had 9 snaps and was 2 carries for 7 yards. So, in that regard, no. And Mr. Andrew Hawkins. 3 catches, 48. Not anything stellar.
I should have taken Pryor.
Yeah, you should have taken Pryor because I know you were talking about that earlier. But for the Brownies, I had Gary Barnage. Who only had 3 for 59, so not much better than...
that long catch.
Right, and not much better than Hawkins there. But I did pick Marcus. I will say that my prediction for Marcus having a better passing day was correct.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give myself a W. Could you agree with that, me, on that one?
Yes, yeah. You, it's all you.
Perfect. Wonderful. Glad we can get that. Mike, take another note of that, please. We got a jam-packed show for you today. Got some good stuff on deck. We got an interview with the Titans assistant equipment manager.
First ever phone interview.
First ever phone interview for the show. Our boy George. We got still got over-unders for you.
Of course.
We got a small story from Miami from George. So that'll be good for this episode for sure.
Jam-packed, man. We're growing. We're getting more segments. We're getting a lot of stuff going. It's exciting.
And don't forget, # worst seats in the house. The giveaway's still going on. We are going to extend it to Monday.
Who wants tickets, y'all? Who wants tickets?
Come on out. Hang out with us.
We're going to have the drawing Monday. Look for that. We'll be tweeting it out. Like, I know who wins. But yeah, keep coming at us.
So on to the Pro Football Focus grades for this week in the top 5 for the offense and defense. John, you ready to guess?
Okay, so I prepared this week.
You did?
I actually, like, kept up when I got home and wrote down. I did actual, like, not research, but I actually, like, instead of guessing it on the spot,
okay,
I did a little background. So I'm going to go with.
Okay, so hold on. Let's start with the offense. Let's go
on
with
the big board. Offense, number one's got to be Kendall.
Kendall was number one, 90.7. Okay. He was the top wide receiver in the league this week.
And then I'm going to go with the tackles again.
Both of them in a row?
They're on the. Do I have to go in the row, or are you guys have name?
Oh
five?
No, you're naming two. But
both tackles are on there,
which is crazy because they are number two and number three. Lawan was 85.6. Conklin was an 83.3.
And then I'm going to go with Rishard Matthews, who had a good ball game.
Dude, John, number four, killing it.
Am I in a row?
You're in a row, baby. 79.7.
Oh,
there's
so much pressure to
the last one.
So the last one I wrote down was Delanie Walker because it's not DeMarco.
Definitely not DeMarco.
Okay, so and I didn't think it was any linemen. So I went tight end and went Delanie.
Delaney's your final answer.
Yes. Which is obviously wrong. So hold on.
Right on position. Wrong on player.
Right on position. It's tight end.
Think about snap.
It was Supernaw.
It was Supernaw.
Mm.
It was Supernaw. 74.5.
That's the best I've done at that game.
It was the best you've done. Good work. But we still got the defense to go. But I will say the offense is probably a little bit easier to track in terms of numbers,
definitely,
things of that nature. But Supernaw, 74.5. You got to think about the snaps he was out there. Impactfulness of his snaps. I didn't have a touchdown or anything, but he still had a couple good catches, blocked really well. Did a good job for the plays he was on the field for. But onto the defense.
Okay.
Who you got, John?
Okay, I went Rack.
Number four, 77.9.
D-more.
Number five, 76.8.
Carl Klug.
Number one, 84.7.
J-Mac.
J-Mac, 82.3. Let's go, John.
And then 99 problems.
Again, right position, wrong player.
Right position. Daquan.
Dude. Daquan, 80.2. Best game of the season for Daquan so far.
Nice. I'm feeling pretty good about that.
He did really well in the run game. Did really well. That was the one thing we had to stop this week for them, and we did a really good job of doing that. So now we have our first ever phone interview, John. Excited to do it, of course, but first for the TNT Couch Scouts, of course. But John, I'll let you introduce him, a good friend of ours. Someone you keep in touch with, obviously.
Great friend of the show. Titans assistant equipment manager, George Chang, who is most known on the kickball field as part of the Championship Three Kicks Mafia. George, how's it going, man?
Doing great. Hey, I love the show. First time caller, long time listener.
Hey, man, we're excited to have you. As we said before, this is our first, and we'll always remember our first. So we really appreciate you coming on. So we're just going to have a little Q&A with our boy George here. Jared, I'll let you lead it off.
All right, George, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, just finished doing a lot of laundry. Just excited to be on the show with you guys.
Perfect. Appreciate it, man. And we appreciate you taking the time out of the laundry to do this for us. I really do. But first thing I got for you. So a locker room question I've always thought about is there one game that the guys play in the locker room, one, and two, who's the best at it?
During camp, a lot of the O-linemen played Super Smash Brothers. But recently, they moved on to Wayne Gretzky NHL hockey.
What year are they playing?
I don't know what caused it, but they switched over.
I got it. Well, what Gretzky hockey are they playing? Like what, 99, 98, something like that?
I don't know. Whatever's on N64, it's got to be like 99, 98.
Who's the leader in the clubhouse? Who's the best at hockey?
I don't know. It seems like just like everyone sucks at that game. Everyone's equally bad. I think today they scored on themselves somehow.
Jeez. Well, playing an N64, still love the console, of course. It's classic, but
we have advanced from that.
We have advanced far from that. But who's the best at Super Smash then?
Oh, Taylor Lewan, no question.
It's Lewan's game, right? Didn't he bring it the first time?
Yeah, he brought it. Yeah. That's his. N64. I mean, they've even written articles about how good he is at the game.
Have you played him?
Yeah, he kicks my butt every time.
Who's his go-to player?
Ness.
Who?
Ness.
Ness is a good one. I like Ness. Smart, solid choice, actually. Very smart, yeah. Solid choice.
All right, George. So, second question, and I've been thinking about this for a while. How many pairs of Yeezys are there in the Titans locker room on any given day?
Let's see. I know Delaney's got one, and Tajay Sharp has one.
They're both Adidas guys.
Took them a while to send them over. I don't know why, but they're really messing with the guys.
I thought there'd be a lot more than that.
I think Kendall might have some, too.
Another Adidas guy. That makes sense.
It all does make sense.
Yeah. Do all the Adidas guys get them in, like, their contract, do you know? I guess that's probably what it
is. Yeah, I think they just send them over, and then they get, like, the shoes, too.
That's tight.
Can't beat that. A nice pair of Yeezys, for sure.
See if they got a size 10. No one's wearing them. Right. See if they got a size 10.
They'll be behind me, but we'll see what, see what I can do.
Oh, we always appreciate that, George. I appreciate it. So, with the new locker room renovations, what is the coolest thing or the most interesting thing that you have seen in the locker room?
Most interesting thing? I don't know. I think the coolest part is that it's, like, open. So you can see, like, every part of the locker from wherever you are. But right now we have, like, this little corner where we put the rookies during OTAs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they called it, like, the ghetto. They were just separated from everyone. But now it's empty, and they some of the players put up, like, mini basketball hoops there.
That's tight.
So you'll find some of the guys just, like, playing horse or knockout after practice and stuff. It's pretty funny.
Speaking of horse, George, I know you're a big horse player. You still playing horse? Kind of time in the shed.
You know, I got to do all the trick shots and stuff.
So yeah.
Clearly, Tanny's the best at that.
Tanny is? Oh yeah, he is from the
video. Trick shot Tanny. Me and George used to play pig in the grounds crew like shed on downtime.
Nice.
All right, George. So another question for you. Whose laundry you got to do the most? Like who has the most laundry every day? Like, who's are you like, oh, my God.
My guess is Chance.
What's up?
My guess is Chance.
Chance? No, well, he's gone now, so.
Yeah.
But he wasn't even bad.
Really?
There's some guys like Kendall. He packs his bag completely full. There's no way you can wear all that stuff. He's got tons of stuff in there. Which is just, like, absurd how much stuff he has.
That's hilarious.
All right, so my last question that I have for you is, like, what's the biggest difference this year as far as, like, just, like, the feeling in the building?
Well, everyone's just kind of got a different pep to their step, you know? It's definitely different, you know, winning two games in a row as opposed to three games in a whole season, you know?
Yeah.
But everyone's really excited. Everyone's put in a lot of work in the off season, and clearly it's showing. But, I don't know, everyone's just excited to be here. More people come on off days and work out.
Yeah.
Good deal. That's what you got to have.
Yeah. Everyone's excited. So we'll see. I mean, as long as we keep this going, string along a couple wins, you know, we can make something special happen.
Completely agreed with you, man. That's what we said on the show here. You know, these next four games are pivotal to see what the Titans can do and who they really are.
Yeah.
So George... One more thing that I got for you. John, I like the laundry question, so I kind of had to piggyback off of that a little bit. But is there anyone that has any weird quirks in the locker room? Like, has to have, like, you know how in Major League, what's his name? Serena. Pedro Serrano had the doll in his locker room. I'm sure there's not anything like that, but any, like, weird quirks kind of thing?
So, DeMarco, he obviously went to Oklahoma, and he has this little mini Sooner helmet in his locker, and he'll, like, pack it and take it to the road game.
No joke.
Which is awesome, because I love how he's just repping them. like all the time.
Oh yeah, that's true, man. I heard about the bet between Arakpo and DeMarco. It was pretty funny.
Oh yeah.
So this will be the last one I got for you, but just wondering for the inside info, what color are we wearing this Sunday?
Color. We are wearing navy on navy.
Navy on navy. I like it. Dark blue. We gotta keep that up. That's a good trend right there. Yeah.
All right, George.
As long as we keep winning.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate it. On behalf of me and Gerald, thanks for coming on the show. Keep doing your thing. We're proud of you. The uniforms look great. You and Haas and Joey and Matt doing a great job. Once again, just thanks, bro, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Have me on whenever you want. This was fun.
All right, man.
Really appreciate it, George.
Yep, no problem.
Take it easy, bro. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
All right. Thanks to our boy George for that. That was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed our first phone interview.
Absolutely. I don't think we could have picked a better person.
Yeah, for sure. He's a great guy. Mike G. Shout out to Mike G for getting that all set up.
Oh, yeah. Mike G on the back end, really helping us out with that one. But, hey, got George on. Hopefully, we can hear some more from George.
Yeah. Or other phone interviews are, you know, coming down the line.
We'll
have some other ones set up. First, hopefully, of many.
Absolutely. First, hopefully, of many phone interviews.
But thanks again, G. We really appreciate it.
Now we got to focus. Another AFC South division matchup. The Indianapolis Colts coming to town. We're going to see a lot of those Colton fans. Actually, I don't even know how many of those are still around. But if some of you don't remember, we used to refer to the Peyton Manning quote-unquote fans who were Colts fans, you know, before the Titans came to town. They would cheer for the Titans every other game of the season, buy season tickets, but then when the Colts came in town, I think I probably saw more 18 jerseys than I saw rolls of paper towels or even a singular napkin in the stadium.
He's like a certified god in this state.
I mean, he's a dang good player.
Yeah.
But nope. Never gonna hear a peep more than I respect the guy out of me for Peyton.
I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I hate the Colts.
Hate the Colts.
The Colts, to me, the Colts are the Browns, but with a Pro Bowl quarterback.
I agree and disagree with you on that.
They're not a very good football team across the board. They have not been constructed very well. They don't have many playmakers. They have one guy on the outside, T.Y.
They thought they were better than they really are.
But they are not a very well... They're brought together. The GM did terrible. Owner did terrible. The coach isn't very good. They're the Browns with Andrew Luck.
I agree with the fact that they don't have a lot of talent right now on the roster, for sure. But I do think they have a better organization on the whole than the Factory of Sadness, of course. But
well, I think that the Browns just have longevity of being a dumpster fire. The Colts have just recently become a dumpster fire.
Well, again, yeah, you're right in the fact that I think that their team is garbage in terms of their personnel. Their offensive line is awful.
Like the Browns. Well, the Browns' offensive line is all right.
Well, you don't have a Joe Thomas there, but yeah. They're defensive playmakers. I mean, Robert Mathis is great, but you can't run him out. I mean, the guy's legs are going to fall off at some point. I mean, he's been playing for 35 years, whatever. He's a really old dude. And then you get rid of Antonio Cromartie, like... I don't know.
Their front office is the Browns.
Yeah, right now.
Their owner is a certified crazy person, just like Truck Stop Jimmy. Jim Irsay is a certified crazy person.
All right. Why do you say that, John?
I mean, where do you want to start? There's the unmentionables that we won't talk about.
Yeah, there are some pretty bad
images. With the girl and all that stuff.
Yes, with all
There's
that.
The DUI.
Good work, Jim.
There's him just being like blackout drunk on like all types of Twitter videos all the time. He's obviously has a severe drinking problem and drug. He got caught with prescription pills.
Yeah, prescription pills.
And had to sit out for so many. The owner of a team
had to sit out
was
games.
Banned. Yeah, we had to sit out games. He looks like a WWE promoter. He's a dumpster fire. He trickle down effect. He has made the Colts what they are.
I never thought he could make Chuck Pagano like a bad person.
I don't think Chuck Pagano is a very good football coach. He might be a great human being. He's not a very good football coach.
Right. Or even just looked upon in a
negative
light.
And then Gregson's not a very good GM. That whole, like I'm telling you, that the whole from top to bottom, take away Andrew Luck, and I guess take away T.Y. Hilton, dumpster fire,
The Ursays, I have to personally thank you all for not surrounding Andrew Luck with any talent besides T.Y. Hilton and an aging Frank Gore that make the Titans.
Well, they had Moncrief who got hurt, but
in this ball game. Well, we haven't seen much out of Dante Moncrief. People have talked about Dante Moncrief to being well, but I mean, what has the guy done? Again, Andrew Luck was out last year. I get that. But at the same time, if you're getting as many snaps as that guy is getting, was going to get.
And they're going to send Andrew Luck to like an early retirement the way he's getting hit.
Dude, they really will.
I mean, their O-line is bad. Their D-line is bad. They choked against Houston.
That was
like
awful.
They're on like sell. they're on the decline. Sell the Colts. Sell the Colts. Sell the Colts.
This is why right now we have to beat them. Areas to exploit.
Well, one more thing. That being said, they have beat us 9 of the last 10 times.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
If you want me to areas to exploit.
Areas to exploit.
I just make sure to throw that in. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh,
should
no,
beat them,
you're right.
But they have dominated us the last 10 times.
Unfortunately, you are in two entirely correct. So we need to get this back on a roll.
Starts with areas to exploit. I think it's simply the pass rush. We've been dominant the last few games. Their O-line can't block anyone.
Yep.
He's getting teed off on.
Yep.
I think Rack and D-Moore are licking their chops. Dicklebo is excited.
Yeah.
He's going to the meetings cheesing.
He's got to be excited.
He's watching this film cheesing.
Stop T.Y. Hilton. Stop T.Y. Hilton.
Tee off on Luck. We're gonna beat the hell out of him.
You think we have more than 6 sacks this week?
More than 6 sacks. Is that my one over and under?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to say, hell, let's go over. I think we're going to tee off on him. They're going to come all day, every day. They're just going to be in his face. And even if it's not sacks, it's going to be pressures. He's going to be getting hit. He's going to get bruised up, banged up this game.
Oh, yeah.
LeBeau.
The pressures, the hurries.
LeBeau everything. Is excited.
As he should be to tee off on this guy. He should be. I'm going to focus on the running game on my side. We talked about it. Their defensive line, besides Robert Mathis, is just...
They're 25th in the league against the run.
DeMarco Murray.
2-9, baby.
Give him the rock.
Let's get it.
He's that horse. Feed him that rock. Would I like to see a little more of D. Henry? More than 2 carries.
He'll get his share.
I've heard a lot of talk about Derrick Henry. And, of course, you know, he's a Heisman-winning running back, you know, and people want to see him play. You know, we got people in this southeast area that are Alabama fans and want to see the guy play. And I get that.
I do too. But right now he's behind
DeMarco Murray.
Maybe the AFC starter in the Pro Bowl.
I agree. I completely agree. And one thing to even think about is odd as, you know, as weird as this to say, if the Titans do something with this season and DeMarco keeps putting up the numbers that he has, you're talking MVP conversation. I'm serious. If the Titans pull off, again, I'm talking about if they pull off something crazy.
I don't know. That's a stretch.
If we go 10-6, DeMarco Murray is the best thing this team has.
He's the comeback player of the year. I'll give you that.
For sure.
He's the comeback player of the year.
But you're talking MVP. He's in the discussion. If the Titans win this division and make the playoffs, he's in that discussion. You cannot tell me he's not in the discussion.
All right, maybe in the discussion, but I don't think he's getting any real, like, I don't think he's getting any tread on that. Like, they're, like, Matt Ryan's balling out of control.
Right.
Other names. I just don't feel like he's that high on the
I get you, list. But again, I get what you're
think
saying.
Any other names.
I get you. Don't get me wrong. I mean, yes, there's other players that are doing well right now and playing phenomenally. I get that.
Well, I think he's going to be...
He's the most valuable player on this roster, and if the Titans do something, that is MVP
worthy. But I think he'll fall victim to the small market thing, and it's hard to win MVP when you're in a small market.
God, I hate to agree with you on that, but yeah.
I think it's a stretch for a Titan in general to win the MVP.
You're right.
I mean, CJ rushed
for
2,000 yards and didn't win the freaking MVP.
Yeah.
It's very hard for a Titan to win the MVP.
It will be. But he's in the conversation.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Thinks about it. If this team does, again, I'm talking about we got to win the division, of course. We got to make the playoffs. We have to have over 10 wins. You know, again, this is a long shot to happen in the first place. But I'm saying if that happens, he's got to be in that discussion. However, run game. Give the man the ball. There's no way to, like, we beat this Colts team by running the football. I think Derrick Henry gives you a little something different, which is why I like him getting 9 to 10 carries a game, you know, which I talked about before. That's what I want to see out of that guy.
Yeah.
And that's because of the fact that he can do some things that are different for you. He's a little bit stronger, bigger than DeMarco, but he's still just as shifty, right? Like, he beat on his, you know, his better run of the two. I want to say he beat a linebacker and almost a corner who had come in to hit him to the edge because he's quicker than you expect.
I think Henry's big plus over DeMarco is his ability to run out of the shotgun, which Mariota likes to be in more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more, you know, beneficial is not really the word. Beneficial for Henry, I guess, not for the team. But when they're in the gun, Henry seems to be able to run the ball better than Murray does in the gun. Murray's downhill guy. He likes to be in the single back. He's not a big
shotgun. Yeah, I would agree with that because he's used to being the pistol. He's used to
But yeah, I think DeMarco's going to go loco.
As he should.
Yeah.
If we win this game, it's because DeMarco Murray goes loco.
As bad as the Colts' rush defense is, they're 29th against the pass. 30th overall. So their defense is bad is the only way you can describe the defense. They're bad.
They are bad.
So, yes, run the ball, but play action. Kendall Wright coming off a huge game.
All day.
Feed Kendall Wright. Delaney.
Delaney.
This is a huge possibility to, like, open up the offense and get after these dudes because they're not very good.
Agreed. This team needs to put up 28 points again.
Well, it's going to be – I don't know if shootout's the right word, but basically you got to outscore Andrew Luck is what the games come down to.
Yeah, outscore Andrew Luck. I agree. And I think we can do that. Our defense has played well. You know, I think we're one of the few teams that are top 10 in both total defense and total offense. 10th in total offense, 9th in total defense right now. It's great. I mean, we said the defense could be top 10. They were last year for a period of time. The offense is has been the surprise. DeMarco's been a huge factor of that, of course. Delaney, open it up. Got to find him a little more. I'd like to see that personally for a personal fantasy interest as well as the team's interest. But I think they can do it. I mean, this is the week to do it.
I'm picking them to win.
Absolutely.
They're going to win at home. Let's get it.
We got to. Got to win at home.
Let's get some momentum. Let's get this ball
that,
rolling.
That big mo. Got to get the mo going.
It's starting to snowball a little bit. Let's keep it going.
What do they say after two wins? What do they call three?
Three wins is a streak.
That's a streak.
A streak.
And we haven't had one of those in a long
time. It has happened before. It is a real thing.
You're right.
It's an actual thing.
People could do it.
Three wins in a row.
Let's get it. The boys have got to get it this weekend. Want to see everybody out there. Hey, the fans are back in this game. I'll tell you what. The fans were involved in this game. That second to last drive the Browns had, two false start penalties, I want to say.
It was pretty dead there for a while, though. But yes, it did pick up when it needed to.
It did pick up when it needed to. And the team obviously noticed that, put out another video today on their Facebook about it.
I want to see
that stadium packed. All of that dark blue.
Not that disgusting blue. Yet.
No, not that.
Sweet horseshoe, bro.
Yeah, get out of here. Come on. Colts? Jesus. Like, you don't want to be like a regular horse? You don't want to be like, you know, like something bigger or better. A
Bronco.
Maybe a Bronco, you know, or granted that name's already taken, but maybe a stallion or something like that. No, it'll be a Colt.
I don't know. When I think Colt, I think of Three Ninjas. Anyone watch Three Ninjas?
Absolutely.
Rocky Tum Tum and Colt.
Who does Rocky love? Emily. Rocky loves Emily. So with that being said, who do you have for your fantasy pick of the week in this game, John, for the teams?
For the Titans? Because we can't pick DeMarco.
Can't pick DeMarco, even though we both want to.
I'm going to say Delaney Walker.
I like it. That was going to be mine.
Touchdown.
I don't know why I keep letting you go first.
Big day.
Never mind, because I keep winning.
Whoa.
Sorry.
No one can hang with Delaney in their linebacking core. The safeties, I don't think, can hang with him. He hadn't been super involved this year, but he is an all-pro tight end, and
Truth. It's
about time to get him the ball.
I agree. I mean, I think they're going to put people on Kendall this week as well, so I think that's going to be a big thing for the offense. My personal person, this guy who I'm going with this week, I'm actually going to say Kendall.
Back-to-back weeks?
I think Kendall has another good performance because Kendall's got 1 week of a good performance, right?
Yeah.
We've shown how we can use him in the offense, but Delaney's the staple. Delaney's still the guy that you need to have somebody on, right? He's faster than your linebackers, and, you know, he's bigger than your corners and your safeties, your DBs. So they're still going to key on him. I think Kendall has another solid week. If we continue to use him the way we did last week, he's the guy. He's the guy for sure.
I'll let you go Colts first.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Sean. You know, I'm going to say this as with a heavy heart, but I'm going to say it as well because it's a fantasy guy. But I think Frank Gore has a decent week this week. He's been stellar in terms of yards most of the games, and I think that we're going to take T.Y. out of the game. So I think it'll be a decent week for Mr. Gore, at least in terms of I hope that he does nothing, but I pick a better Colt than you can pick a better Colt.
I'm throwing you a curveball, as okay. I usually do.
Come with it.
Ex-Titan, actually, was on the was there at you training camp.
You going with Mr. Doyle?
Jack Doyle from the University of...
Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky. He's a Hilltopper. Got to go with him. Dwayne Allen's questionable. He's okay. Got an ankle or something. He's not great. Jack has 3 touchdowns this year.
He does. He had 4 for 53 and a touch last week.
Luck likes him. He catches everything. I saw it firsthand at college. He caught every pass thrown to him.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him, but we didn't have a spot for him.
Exactly. Hometown boy from Indianapolis, Jack Doyle will be the Colts fantasy player this week.
I like it.
And now we're going to send it over to our boy, Jake Boswell.
With the fantasy football Fairweather Focus.
Hey everybody, Jake Boswell here with your fantasy football fair weather focus. We're going to start this week, as we almost always do, with the running backs. They're important, right? Of course, they go down just about as quickly as any other position on the field, and there's always backups you've never heard of taking their spot and possibly winning you a fantasy championship. This week, however, the running backs are pretty obvious. Jay Ajayi of the Miami Dolphins has been kind of muddled this year with a team that's kind of struggled, but against the Steelers, he had a breakout game, over 200 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. It looks like he's going to be the starter on a team that could see some momentum. He's someone that at least needs to be owned. If he's out there, pick him up. Also, another obvious choice, James White of the New England Patriots. Someone this week breaking out, having 2 touchdowns, both receiving. He's somebody who looks to be a huge factor in the New England Patriots offense for the rest of the year. Targeted 9 times last week, and with Deion Lewis out, still hurt for quite a while, it looks like he could be a big factor on third downs and somebody Tom Brady looks to have a lot of chemistry with. Now, moving on to this week's sleepers, I'm starting with Cole Beasley. He's had 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Him and Dak Prescott really showing a lot of chemistry, and as the talk continues with the 5-1 Cowboys, it looks like Dak Prescott is likely to remain the quarterback, even if Romo stays. Now, Beasley's not getting a lot of yards, but with him finding the end zone so much weekly, I like him to stay hot this upcoming week and somebody you should have in your lineup. And then, of course, somebody close to home, Marcus Mariota, really off to a tough sophomore year to begin this year, but the last few games he's had at least 3 touchdowns, averaging nearly 30 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks. And this week, a huge game for the 3-3 Titans, playing at home against the Colts defense that has had a pretty tough year so far. Look for Mariota to be comfortable at home, comfortable in the pocket, throwing out of the backfield to DeMarco Murray, and somebody who should have yet another big week as he looks to not only get a lot of yards in the air, but running pretty well on the ground as well. Those are my opinions this week. They change just about every week. We'll see how things go. That is your fantasy football fair weather focus for this week.
Actually, you know what? Mike, go and throw back on the story time that we had with George from earlier. We actually had to catch this from him after we had done the phone interview, but he was like, man, I got this one story to tell. It's about Miami. So, Mike, do it to it.
So, in Miami, I was catching, like, some kickoffs from Suck Up. So, I was standing, like, in the middle of the end zone. And this was as the Miami guys were coming out. So, there was a bunch of people in front of me, and they're, like, blasting off cannon. So, I stood there for, like 30 seconds. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, he kicks the ball. Yeah. And then it's, like, clearly going over my head.
Yeah.
So I turn around to the people behind me, and I'm like, heads up. But as I say that, like, another cannon blast goes off. So obviously they didn't hear me. And then right. You know, it just plops this chick in the head. Falls down. It was like a gunshot. Boom. It just hit the floor. It felt so bad.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Wish I had the visual with that, too. That's awesome.
Yeah. Did you have to give her, like, a football or anything like that?
No, I kind of like stood there for a second, and I was like, I have a job to do, so I like grabbed the ball, threw it back, and then I like went back to her, and I was like, are you all right? And then she was like, yeah.
I'm sure she was like embarrassed more than anything.
Probably. But she like, it hit her, and like, it was crazy. She just fell down.
Oh, man. Got to thank George again for that one. That was awesome. That was awesome. Feel bad for that girl, though. I feel like you should have given her something.
All right. Now it is time for what is going to be dubbed your wifey's favorite segment.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Mike G, let's hear it. That nostalgic 90s tune. All right, Gerald.
So, how to do last week?
Hold on, let me run through your last week's numbers, and I'm going to give you the average. Your batting average.
Oh, the total.
The total.
We finally got it.
We got it. So last week, you went 4 of 8. So 50%.
500 is all right.
That's great. That's great. You missed over under 45.5.
Ooh,
you went under that. You missed the 3.5. You went over 3.5. That was Vegas. That wasn't me. you missed the. You went over Mariota's 6 rushes, and you went. I'm sorry. You got that one right. No, you got his touchdowns right, you got the rushes wrong. And then you went over Henry's 55 rushing yards.
Yeah, that was bad caller.
You did not have a good afternoon.
Bad caller.
So that brings your average to, and this is a true story, by the way. I didn't want to run the numbers because
this is true.
I have other things to do, I guess.
Being lazy.
So I just guessed is around 712. It was a very specific number.
He did. He really did guess
712. And then Gerald ran the numbers and it was like, what was it?
It was 7115.
So we'll round it up to 712. Which is amazing. I wish I was that good in school at math.
Yeah, right.
All right, so over under for this week. You ready?
Give it to me, son.
Batting 712, which is like beyond Hall of Fame numbers.
Love it.
It's not even a comparable statistic.
Love it. Got to listen to these over unders, folks.
Over under 4 sacks for the Titans defense.
Over under 4. I'm going to say over this week. I'm going to say over. With this team, if we're going to, I think we can win this football game. We'll be doing this football game. We get a lot of sacks in the process.
28.5 Titans points.
Ooh, you're really pushing these on me now, aren't you? I literally made a comment about 28 earlier.
I write this last night, but.
Whatever you say, John. Whatever you say. I'm going to say 28 points with the Titans. I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under 28 points for the Titans.
28 points.
I think we should, right? But I also think it's going to be a close rivalry game. I mean, I hope we have 35, 40-something points. But my final score prediction is going to be about probably like 24-13 kind of thing.
All right. Your MVP candidate, DeMarco Murray, has over under 115 yards rushing.
I'm going to say under 115. I'm going to say he gets 100 yards. I think he gets a good chunk this week. So he should be running the football a lot. So I'm going to say he gets a decent chunk, but not 115.
Kendall, 6 catches.
Kendall with 6 catches. He had 8 last week. It's an interesting question there. I mean, we spread the ball around really well last week. And there's a lot of guys that had catches. I mean, Matthew, Supernaw, Walker, Henry, Fasano, you know, Kendall and Matthews. I mean, they spread around well. 6 catches.
He had 8 last week.
I know. I'm trying to think. I'm going to go with over 6.
We'll go over 6.
Maybe with a 7. Whatever.
Okay, it's kicking the receivers. Tajay Sharp, over under 3 catches.
Yeah, Tajay has not looked good. He really hasn't. I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under for Tajay, and I'm going to change my answer on the Kindle and say under. I think it's a better bet.
That's an under.
Under 6.
Unders.
But he's going to have 5.
A lot of unders. All right. Taylor Lewan. 1.5 penalties.
Ooh. Going up against Mathis all day long?
Over.
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 He's going up against one of the best defensive ends he's seen so far. Everson Griffin got at him a little bit.
Over or under 2 passing touchdowns for Andrew Luck?
I'm going to say under. Say under that for Mr. Luck. I think Gore has a better play. I think we're going to get to him. I think when we're going to rush him, we're going to get to him.
All right. Well, that is all for your wife's favorite segment right there.
Let's
see if Gerald can keep his 712 batting average.
My stellar batting average so far.
So now we're gonna roll into just straight up. Who are you picking to win this week?
Titans, baby, tighten up.
Can you give me a score?
24-13.
That was quick.
Tighten up. You got me thinking about it with the over unders, man. You got me thinking about it.
24-13.
John, you
going Titans in a semi shootout? 28-24.
Okay.
Outscoring Andrew Luck.
So, which, again, we are a 2.5-point favorite this week.
So, I'm covering. We're both covering.
Both covering. Titans, both covering for me and John this week. Now, we have some other interesting matchups around the AFC South as well. Let's go into the leading team, Houston at Denver.
Taking Denver. They're minus 7.5 on the road, or at home, sorry. 7.5 is a lot.
Favorites. Keep going.
But I'm going to take Denver. They're not going to cover, but they'll beat Houston.
Oh, yeah. I think Denver's going to win that football game as well. There's no way. I mean, I have no faith in Brock Osweiler to do anything against that incredible defense. No doubt in my mind. We need Denver to win that game, too. I'd love to be in the tie for first place. I really would.
It'd be awesome.
And last but not least, we have the Oakland Raiders traveling down to the swimming pool known as Jacksonville.
Cross-country trip. Jacksonville's 1.5-point dog at home. I wanted this to be my lock of the week, but I advised against it. Lock of the week last week was pretty rough.
Especially after last week's. John, that was brutal.
But I'm going to take Oakland to win in Jacksonville. I'm done with Jacksonville. I'm over them. I thought they were going to be good this year. They are not. They're very disappointing.
I agree.
On the road.
Granted, we do have a lot of football left to play this season. We still have 10 games.
I think the Raiders are a very good football team.
Agreed. And I'm right there with you. I think they're a very good football team, too. Their defense has definitely stepped it up in the past weeks. You know, hasn't been perfect. Hasn't been great, but been better. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm taking Oakland. I mean, there's no reason to believe in Jacksonville at this time.
We're all the same this week?
All the same this week, John.
That's not exciting.
Well, if we bring it back to
last
week.
We're tied too, aren't we?
We got that tie. We got that tie. If we can remind the folks at home. Last week, John and I both picked Houston to beat the Coats. We both picked the Titans to get a W. But the difference was that your host, Gerald Saltkill here, decided to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars. And John selected the Chicago Bears.
All right. So those are our picks. We're going to do lock of the week again.
All right.
We're going to go two. Again. Last week, not great. Picked the Steelers to cover 7.5. They got trounced. But
Big Ben
got hurt, so that obviously affects the game. But lock of the week, lock it in. Here we go.
Listen up tight, folks.
Minnesota minus 2.5 at Philadelphia. I'm riding the Minnesota train all year
long.
Yeah,
for sure.
They got offense. They got defense. They can do it. Whatever. Philadelphia is a good football team, but I think Minnesota's got the defense too good. They're going to score a touchdown either on defense or special teams somehow. Lock of the week, take Minnesota. Skull. I don't know if I did that right. Was it too quick? Or was it slower than that?
I think it's a little slower than that.
Skull.
Yeah, better. I think it speeds up.
Lock of the week.
Take Minnesota, y'all. Take Minnesota. Folks, you got to remember, we got the ticket giveaway still going on.
It's exciting.
Thursday night against the Jaguars, we
exciting
will have
time.
Tickets, okay? Just remember, you got to tweet at us. Give us a story. We got some good entries so far. Great reminiscing, I'll say.
We enjoy it.
We love to hear what you guys have to think. We did get one locker injury comment, which I thought was just very, very fun. Not like fun is not the good word. It's like it wasn't funny at all.
It wasn't great.
No, I wasn't a fan of that one, but it is what it is.
Keep them coming, though.
Remember, you guys, hashtag worst seats in the house. Tell us about a favorite, or maybe it's a picture or a quick, you know, Titans memory, one of your greatest moments, whatever.
Two tickets up for grabs,
you guys.
We'll be picking that on Monday. We're going to take everyone that got back at us, put it in a hat. We're going to pick them. We'll put that on Twitter, we'll tweet out to the winner who won. You'll be able to come to us at the game, worst seats in the house, and be able to tailgate with us on Thursday night, Color Rush. We're stoked. Hope y'all are excited too.
Absolutely. It's going to be a big game. I see people looking for tickets all over the internet and trying to sell them. We are giving them away. John, we are giving these things away for free.
For the low, low.
And hey, then you get to spend some time with your two favorite hosts here, the TNT Cash
Cows. Pretty great guys. Mike G will be there as well.
Mike G will be there in attendance.
You get the whole crew. You get the whole squad.
Why not come out and hang out with us?
That's worth the price of admission right there.
Absolutely. Get some food in you? Come on. I don't understand. I just don't understand. But hey, guys, remember, memorable moment, send it over to us, tweet it at us, and the hashtag worst seats in the house. And remember that Twitter is at @TNT_CouchScouts.
All right, y'all. That pretty much wraps up our show for this week. Great show. A lot of stuff going on. Loved it. Hope y'all are enjoying as much as we are. On behalf of me and Gerald, just keep following us. Keep listening.
Again, thanks, guys. We love the support. Keep it coming. All of our folks all over the world. I saw we had a couple downloads, I want to say in Ghana. So I was like, shout out to those guys
shout out there to in Ghana. Doing their thing.
Obviously, got some folks who in Kentucky, Alabama, Tennessee downloading the show. Thank you guys so much. Even at some folks on the West Coast in San Fran. So appreciate y'all listening to us. I love that we got some Titans fans all over the country.
Tighten up, y'all.
Tighten up.